This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Both teams got crowned as far as it comes to New York baseball, with the Mets and Yankees for the first time all season getting swept. They hadn't been swept prior. The Mets, Yankees, and Reds were the only three teams to not have gotten swept, and then they get swept in the same weekend.
I don't know how the Reds get in that group.
Yeah, I mean,
the Reds?
Reds, Mets, and Yankees. The Reds didn't get swept, so they're the one team standing. I had an issue with the Yankees, BT, with the way that they played, and this is how we started the show, so we'll go there, but we'll touch all three.
Mm-hmm.
I had an issue with it. I thought, again, concern may be strong. We know the Yankees are good. I don't think the AL East is a foregone conclusion. Yanks now 8-11 against the American League East. And also against the Red Sox was the one team that I was looking to see how they did, because I thought that that was a legit threat going in. Lost 2 out of 3 the weekend prior. Got swept this weekend. Judge striking out all over the place. 1-for-12. When he does not hit, they don't score. Not to mention the airheaded plays. The Yankees played this series with their heads up their rear end. I thought it was a bad, bad look for the Yankees, and it would, again, concern, worry may be strong, but just make me think twice about trusting this team all in moving forward.
Well, listen, if you watch the Yankees this weekend for the first time, be like, this team is an absolute mess. I mean, they're not buttoned up. I mean, they don't look very well coached or managed. They don't seem very locked in fundamentally in terms of the fundamentals. That's undeniable. I mean, you had gaffe after gaffe on the bases, which, I mean, it's the major league level, so at the end of the day, it's still inexcusable, but it's not who they are. And, you know, I very rarely give out passes, and I certainly don't give them out against rivals, but the Yankees from start to finish, at least up until this point right now, have been a very, very good baseball team. I know they're still good, and I've also always known that they're not perfect. They might become more perfect when you get Heel and Stanton back, and Stanton's on the way back now, and Heel's from right around the corner. So I just think you chalk it up as for whatever reason, I don't know, but brain cramp, brain lock, whatever. It's baseball. I don't know. But the Yankees this weekend, it didn't bother me as much as it bothered you, because I don't think that that's who they are. They're one of the best teams, and right now I'm okay with that.
Didn't look good against the Dodgers either.
No, that's true. They didn't look good against
the Dodgers. Big weekend there with them. Now, what does that mean? Are they still one of the best teams? Sure. 5 best teams, maybe. I don't look at the Yankees. They're held to a curve because they're the Yankees.
Well, but that's not a curve that I hold them to. That's where we differ a little bit.
Well, we're not talking championship.
Think about this. Like, you know, the whole Yankee aura, I don't really get in. I don't engage in that too often. I love it. I know it. It's a part of the history. It's awesome. It's as good a history as any other team in sport. But I stopped hanging my hat on that, quite frankly, when the Red Sox came in and danced on the stadium turf Game 7 back in the mid-2000s. That's where that was a wrap for me. Everything changed. Curse of the Bambino reversed. And not that the Yankees don't have an aura for some. I can't quantify aura anymore. The quantification of aura for me comes with World Series championships. Mm-hmm. I felt the aura in 96 and 98 and 99 and 2000 and even in 01 and 03 getting there and 09 winning for sure. And last year to an extent getting there before falling apart defensively against the Dodgers. I don't care about aura. I care about how are they measured against their peers, and I think they stack up very well.
And maybe that's where we differ, where I don't think they're as good as the best teams in baseball. I just don't trust them. I didn't think they were last year, and they got to the World Series, but you saw what happened where they got exposed in that, and I think that they're worse this year. Different, sure, But I don't trust their lineup as much as I did a year ago.
I trust it more. Isn't that crazy how we see it differently? Yeah. I actually trust it more.
Yeah.
Trust him more.
I don't know what that's based off of, though. Goldschmidt?
No. Well, Bellinger as well, dude. Yeah,
but he's not as good as Soto.
I'm not saying he's good as Soto. Well, nobody that they brought in is as good as Soto. But to me, I would much rather have, like, last year's lineup, I felt like outside of two or three guys, everybody had an OPS in the sixes. I mean, it was embarrassing. So, yes, Judge was amazing, and Soto was amazing, and the tandem was amazing. But that was pretty much it. They didn't have a clear leadoff hitter. They didn't have a number four hitter. I mean, it was Wells. They rotated. Right. And they certainly didn't have anything that represented a competent 7, 8, 9 in the order. They had a bunch of automatic outs. I mean, they were just, the numbers were weak and the production was just too light. So while you remove Soto, whether it's Goldschmidt, whether it's obviously Bellinger, whether it's a tick up in year three for Volpe. I mean, finally, Volpe's taken a nice step forward. Not crazy, but it's certainly discernible. All of his numbers across the board, base running gap aside Friday night, are up. Now, he's on base more. His OPS is higher. He's got more doubles. He's a better hitter. I just think they're a better lineup here. Of course, they miss Soto with certain things, but 1-9 better.
Yeah, I still need to see more from the Yanks, and without Judge producing, they've got to score some runs. They did not, obviously, this weekend. The Mets got their clocks clean this weekend. I'm not overly concerned about the pitching, although, yeah, I mean, look, they're spring and leash, but the injury to Senga, and then you see Griffin Canning and Tyler McGill go out there and do what they did. I'm more concerned about Pete Alonso, because the Mets have gone as Pete Alonso has gone this year. Yeah, the pitching has been there, and I trust that the pitching will get back, especially when they get Manaea back healthy and Montas probably as well. And then maybe Senga by the All-Star break, whatever it may be, shortly after the All-Star break. So I'm not overly concerned about the pitching, but Alonso had himself an awful weekend coming off of the throw that got Senga hurt. And I feel like it's fragile with Pete. There's a fine line between what he's done this year and what he did a year ago or 2 years ago. And if they lose that and lose what Alonso has done this year, which has been one of the better offensive players in the sport, it's asking a lot, but that's what he's done, and they've had success. They lose that, I'm not sure who's going to be cleaning up all the guys on in front of him, so that would be a concerning thing for me with Alonso.
My concern's more to pitching. I want to get back to that, though. Just to point on the whole Pete thing, isn't that's supposed to be the beauty, and this should be the beauty, of having another superstar hitter in the lineup. So, you know, last year when Aaron Judge was scuffling in April, Juan Soto kept the Yankees afloat. This April and really into May, when Soto was transitioning and just not looking like Juan Soto, Pete was rocking, Lindor was off to a good start, finally a good start for Lindor as a Met here, right, in the early month of the season. So now, if this is going to be a three-week or just a bad month for Pete, and by the way, he's allowed to have it, all right, then this is where Juan Soto's got to wake up. Now, I know he's been playing well up until this weekend, but the weekend that Pete looks like he took five steps back is not a good weekend for Juan Soto to go, what was it, 1-for-10 or 2-for-10, whatever it was.
He was walking a lot, hitting the ball hard. I'm not concerned about the short term. I think they'll be able to survive that. I'm more concerned about which version of Pete are we getting.
Because you get the good version. I do.
I think they'll be okay.
I don't think that this, like, transforms him into a tight figure who suddenly resembles a guy who was hitting 215 last year. I mean, if he's not beyond that, then he really shouldn't be here long term. I don't think that that's going to happen.
Nobody believed that he was going to be the 320 hitter or whatever.
No.
So you see a little bit of coming back down to earth, and you saw the difference that it can make. He came up. It's not like they didn't have opportunities. He came up a lot of times to do damage and just didn't get. Now, you're right. Like, he's been carrying the team, so you can't rip him the one series where he doesn't get the job done. It's just a little bit concerning to me, because if Pete reverts at all back to last year's version of Pete, then I think they're going to have bigger issues long term.
We'll throw the Nick thing on the table as well. We'll hit all three, as you said. But the other thing, too, for me to pay off the pitching stuff here, I think now, again, like everybody, I'm fascinated by the laboratory and what they do there and what they take from weaknesses and either push to the side and now ignore, or they just really truly focus on strengths and make them better. I don't really know what they're doing there, but whatever it is that's been working, now to me, this is where the strength in numbers really gets tested, because Montas, who's going to get called up at some point very soon, has made 5 minor league starts and he's been wretched. I mean, his ERA is over 13. Now, you can't get minor league kids out. I think it's a little bit of a leap of faith to say right away he's going to get major league hitters out. Maybe he does, but it doesn't seem very likely now. Blackburn is a disaster in the bullpen, and I know it's been a little bit of an issue going back and forth. And even said that the other night. He's like, listen, I haven't found my rhythm coming out of the pen. Well, you get a chance to find some rhythm Wednesday. You're starting. Figure it out. Senga's hurt. Canning's had 3 out of 4 bad starts. And Clay Holmes, who I told you I love as a signing by the Mets and was going to be good for the Mets, and he has been, you're going to have to navigate the next 3 months of him making sure that it's 5 and fly. I mean, he could have a no-hitter after 5. He's got to go to the shower, which puts further emphasis on a strong bullpen, which is showing cracks for the first time.
Yeah, I think that they have, look, they've managed it last year, this year so far. They're going to have their work cut out for them in the short term over the next couple of weeks to see how it happens. But I have to trust that Stearns and Hefner are going to figure it out. Forget the lab. They've done a good job with these pitchers so far, so I have no reason just because of a couple of turns through or the loss of Senga. Remember, last year they lost Senga the entire year, and they still far outperformed the expectations. This year they lost their best pitcher with Manaea all year so far. Hasn't thrown a pitch, and they have far exceeded expectations. So can Griffin Canning come back down to earth? Tyler McGill inconsistent? It's just all happening at once, which can seem that they're taking on a lot. Not to mention, by the way, that the Braves are looming tomorrow.
Yep.
Not that the Braves are any good, but going to Atlanta is always a threat. The Braves lining up their pitching so they can make sure they beat the Mets and stay in the division race here, even if they're, what, 13 games back. So and the first time the Mets get swept going to the Braves series, they're taking on a lot of water right now. Can they plug the leaks over the course of the next 10 games against the Braves and Phillies? It's going to be an important stretch here, and it doesn't seem like it's the best timing for this stuff to happen, but I do trust that they'll figure it out pitching-wise. I just hope that Pete is more what he was the first couple of months than what he was this weekend.
Well, that was going to be my final point here. Listen, I mean, it's a 162-game marathon, so every team, we could jump in on at least the good teams. I mean, the Dodgers have been as beat up as anybody in terms of their arms, their bullpen. So the Mets aren't alone with some of the issues we identify now. The Yankees aren't alone with some of the issues that we've identified today. But I think what I never thought that the Mets pitching, as good as it was, and I believed it, and not to minimize it, I just never looked at as the pitching is the reason why the Mets could win the World Series.
Right.
I think it's good, and I think it's been really good. Now you got to stabilize it. But for it to be stabilized, you're going to need more offense, which either means, to your point, Pete better not be making a big U-turn here, right, or they better be plotting a big trade. I still think of all the things that the Mets need to do before the trade deadline, they got to get another bat.
Yeah, I want a center fielder specifically. McNeil and Tyrone Taylor have been good. I think they're going to need one more. And Nimmo's been better in the 2-0 in front of Soto.
Yes.
So that's stabilized things there. They're going to need one more bat. Remember, Vientos hurt too, so there are ways to do it, but they're going to need, I think, one more bat. The other thing that we talked about before we get back to the calls, 888-808-1019, the Knicks continued search for the head coach, and Taylor Jenkins apparently first up here on the interview list. Mike Brown to come this week, but the report from Ian Begley today, Ian Begley of SNY, is on top of this stuff, saying that don't close the door just yet on Jason Kidd. He still might be a possibility for the Knicks.
And now, what was my first reaction? I don't know what reaction you expected, but when you told me that and told us that about 25, 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be for Tibbs.
Well, that actually literally was my first reaction. Yeah, I beat you to it and I was wrong. But like once I found out what you were talking about, it doesn't incredibly excite me. Like Jason Kidd to me is not a definite answer. I know what he does differently than Tom Thibodeau. I think he'll relate better to players. I think he'll be a good asset for Jalen Brunson, point guard to point guard. I think he'll understand and certainly fixate more on out-of-bounds plays, you know, end-of-game situations that were apparently ignored based on what came out in the exit meetings with what the Knicks did or did not do at practice. Like, they ignored a lot of that stuff. And by the way, just watching the Knicks play, it's not a stretch to believe that because they were very disjointed on the out-of-bounds plays and trying to run stuff late. But I like Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, not once during this entire process, not once have I been like, that's the guy. All right, I think he's good. I also think Tom Thibodeau's good. Now, yeah, he's different. And in this case, they could both be good, and different could be good enough to elevate him past Tom Thibodeau. But I'm not doing cartwheels here if Jason Kidd's the coach.
The reason why I like the idea of Kidd, he's got experience. He's familiar with Brunson. He's got experience in New York. So there are a lot of boxes that were checked. And also, it would be a big hire as opposed to, let's say, Mike Brown. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the better hire, but Mike Brown is just like, ah, God. Like, at least there's an element to Kidd. And I don't like Kidd. Never liked him as a player. Like, I respect him as a player, but never liked him as a player. Certainly don't like him as a person.
Mm.
So there are elements that have me turned off by him. Initially, he was atop my short list. Van Gundy, Udoka, and Kidd would have been one of those three. Now it seems like two are definitely out. Kidd's still the possibility. I will be honest with you and say that I'm starting to turn the corner a little bit on Taylor Jenkins.
Yep.
I like the idea of the offense that he had with Memphis and his offensive mind. There's intrigue there. And instead of looking at him as a retread, maybe he's just the guy who Ja Morant, you know, Ja Morant was a coach killer.
You think it's easy coaching Morant? I mean, he's amazing talent. I know.
No, I don't. So I'm going to give Jenkins the benefit of the doubt in that regard and say that he could be a really good head coach. And if he's an offensive mind, and to your point before, does a little, you know, has a little defense as well, maybe that's where you could elevate over Tibbs, where Tibbs is more defense, did have a good offense, but maybe Jenkins can make the most of this mix with Cat and Brunson.
Well, I don't even look at it and say that I think Taylor Jenkins could become a good coach. Taylor Jenkins is a good coach. Like, he's already there. I mean,
New York, though, is a different animal.
No question. No question. And I think Jason Kidd would probably handle that stuff well. I think Mike Brown would handle that stuff well. In addition, I don't know. Could it be a bit of an issue? Maybe. But this man's won 56 games, 51 games, 44 and 29 before he got fired this year. I actually thought he was a little bit older. I thought he was in his early, like 40.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
3-4, he's 40. He's a young guy. He's 40. So that is counter to a lot of the things about Tom Thibodeau, where Tom was older. He's approaching the age of 70, 30-year age difference. And when you're 30 years younger than the previous coach, what you're growing up with, the different structures of offenses and how to relate to players and all the things that they do, I mean, that is pertinent stuff there. So I like Mike Brown more than you. I definitely like Mike Brown. Going into the weekend, Mike Brown had the slight edge for me over Jenkins. I flipped where I still like Mike Brown, and it would excite me more than you, but I think Taylor Jenkins might be the guy.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Talking Mets, Yanks, and Knicks. Dave is in Jersey Shore. What's up, Dave?
What's up, guys? Love the show. I listen all the time, too, You know, you took the wind out of my sail about Alonzo, you know. Ever since that throw, it seems like something's bothering him. Even Ron Darling noticed something when he was at bat with the bases loaded yesterday. He's trying too hard again, like he used to, you know. Always trying to hit that home run to tie the game up. you know, when everyone losing 4-0.
You make an excellent point, Dave. Just before I let you finish there, I just want to make sure it's clear for me that it's not just results-based with Alonso this weekend. The results are going to come and go. It's the way that he looked. He was having bad at-bats.
I noticed that in his face. The first thing I said to my wife, who's a Yankee fan, by the way, so opposites attract. But anyway, when you were talking about Soto the other day, before, you know, he hit into 14 double plays. But, you know, when they pitch around him, like, you wouldn't believe he's got a ton of walks. But when he does hit the ball, he hits it, you know. Like, you're going to hit it to double plays, especially if you get a top spin right at somebody, and it's not going to trickle through. You know, at least he's making outs. Like, if you notice his, like, you know, he hits a lot to the warning track, and it's just missing. But I think he's going to be an asset at the end. But
another thing,
I'm afraid of the Braves. I hope they don't do what the Mets did last year. You know what I mean? That's in the back of my mind.
See, this is the problem, and thanks for the call, Dave. Now, I want to go on record before the series starts and say, I am not afraid. I fully expect the Mets to stomp on their throat and kill them once and for all. Instead of swimming with the fish down at the bottom of the National League East, have them sleep with the Miami Marlins. They should be sleeping with the fish after the Mets are done with them. But it does leak. Dude, this has been a house of horrors since the 90s, with the Mets going down to Atlanta. And of course, the Mets have been the best team in baseball and one of the best records in baseball all year long. The meeting with the Braves coincides with Senga getting hurt, the rotation falling apart, and getting swept for the first time all year.
And the bullpen having some leaks there as well. Well, I mean, look at it this way. It's a great chance to immediately rectify this, reverse it, and put into motion a little three-game blip against the Rays. We're good. Or it could get compounded and potentially lead to somewhere worse. And it very well could be in between, where they win two and one game they get smoked, or they lose two and one game they smoke them.
Just win two out of three minimum.
Yeah. Listen, you just want to... The Mets did not... The results... what were the scores? This, I know it was 9-0 yesterday, but... I thought that the optics of the Mets weekend was, and we try not to do Yankees versus Mets because that's just the low-hanging fruit, and the Yankees did not hit, the Yankees did not run, the Yankees didn't do a whole lot well up in Fenway this weekend at all. But like, you know, Friday night, you know, blown a lead, and then, you know, Saturday, just not pretty. Then yesterday getting smoked, and I thought the Mets looked sloppier. I thought the Mets were more non-competitive this weekend than the Yankees. Now, it doesn't mean anything because you don't get style points for losing 4-3 versus 9-0. But I think what we'd all like to see is for the Yankees to come back with a couple starting, you know, immediately, and same for the Mets. But it's amplified because those Braves have...
Yeah, well, and it's not just the Braves.
They're winning the Phillies coming up as well.
Yeah, Braves and Phillies over the next 10. This is the stretch.
Is this the season?
Not the Mets season. I think it's the Braves season is on the line here.
Well, when I say is it the season, I should have prefaced it with if the Mets play poor, if the Mets play great, you're burying teams.
Correct. I think if the Mets play great over this stretch, the division will be in hand.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves are back 13, so no matter what happens, still have a ton of work to do.
This is a huge swing for the Mets to either have a race all year long or put the foot on the throat and officially bury the Braves and keep the Phillies at bay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a two-team race right now. You only get three with the Phillies here, but if you win another series from them, now you're 5-1 mm-hmm. on the year from them. That would be an accomplishment for the Mets, at least early on here. All right.
First up, though, it's time for the meat of the order for the Yankees yesterday. Really all weekend, not a whole lot happening. Four runs up at Fenway, all three games, and specific to yesterday, hitters 2-6 in the order. Not a lot of contact, 8 strikeouts. So the Yankees' offense was certainly on hiatus this weekend. Meat of the order not doing a ton. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905. And Sal, by the way,
yes,
I know you knew I was doing this. I was looking at some Tyler Jenkins highlights.
Yeah.
Fiery.
During the break,
a little fiery. Watching some stuff on YouTube where he got after a couple reps. He fits in.
Starting to warm up. I asked somebody that I trust in the NBA, you know, whatever, industry source, just about, hey, what went wrong with Jenkins? And it was that apparently Ja Morant did not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ja Morant, who's obviously had his own issues. He's the player that I wanted the Knicks to take, by the way, more so than Zion back then. Unfortunately, he went number two. And then the Knicks ended up with R.J. Barrett. But if Ja Morant, if that's the one issue, I was told, quote, he's very good, but Ja Morant didn't like him. So if that's the only issue, and that makes sense, right? They're trying to placate their superstar, plus the offensive stuff that you talk about. I guess my feeling about it would be better if the Knicks were more convinced or convicted in their belief of him, meaning, okay, let's fire Tibbs because we're eyeing Jenkins as a replacement.
Yeah.
Same way with Johnny Bryant. Like, I didn't want Johnny Bryant, but if they were, you had conviction in going after a certain guy, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. And instead with Jenkins, it's like, yeah, he's there. So is Brown. So is Bryant. Let's see the other guys first. Okay, there's doing your due diligence. But if you want somebody, you want somebody.
Well, I think that's been the frustrating slash confusing part of this whole coaching cycle by the Knicks. I mean, it goes back. I mean, it's getting overly repetitive at this point. We're all getting tired of hearing it. But it's the plan versus no plan. Some people think that this is part of their plan. Me, I think they have no plan. I think that they're reacting to it. I think they reacted either, which is what I really think, an edict or some heavy influence from the owner. I think that there was also a little disconnect there between the lines of communication, something I know they're looking for. Not that they were battling Thibodeau, but I think they want a little more harmony in terms of maybe the new coach being a little more receptive to either suggestions or whatever it might be. But I know that Tom Thibodeau is very stubborn, does his own thing, and it's been fairly successful, but I think they want something different. Is it either that or is it like, you know, oh, let's just move on from this guy and just knock on 1,000 doors? They've asked 5 teams, and of the 5 names, three of them I have absolutely zero interest in. So I don't think that that's a very defined plan. And if it is a plan, I don't think it's a good one. And now you just get to, you've heard the college name. It's been a wide net. You fire a guy like that, you better have somebody lined up immediately. And they obviously don't.
Yeah, the example you used last week was, it's not the Jets here who are building this thing from the ground up where you need a new head coach. Anything would be possible. Veteran, first-timer, college, whatever. So you unearth every rock, every stone. That's not the case here with the Knicks. Now, with all that being said, and we said this last week, we'll say it again, doesn't mean just because they don't seem to have a clear plan or a clear direction, doesn't mean that they can't get the hire right. If they hire Jenkins, all of a sudden we're both going to be like, you know what? I'm intrigued by this guy. Let's see what this offensive mind, who had success before, can do here in New York with this team that is very talented.
I can only like anticipate my reaction the day that it's announced that the Knicks have their new coach, right? Now, I love Jay Wright, but and I know he's not getting the job. But like, if it was Jay Wright, I would have real reservations, even with the Nova connection. If it was Danny Hurley, I would have different reservations, more from a personality perspective and being able to act the way he does in the pros, the way he does up at UConn.
That had the potential to be a disaster.
Oh, my God. That could have been a quick one and done. I think what makes him great is his intensity, and you just can't carry that with guys making $50 million. You're not going to listen. So if it was like one of those two guys, I don't think I'd have an incredibly favorable reaction, though I like both men, like really like both of them. If it's Tyler Jenkins, I'm telling you right now, your partner's going to be pretty happy.
Isn't it?
What did I say?
Tyler, I think. Can you just confirm? I'm pretty sure it's Taylor. But
by the way, do you know that John Morant played 50. He missed 25, 30 games this year. And Jenkins still won 40-something games and was fired with 9 to go.
He's always hurt.
He's one around. Exactly. So you learn how to listen. They may have gotten rid of him because John Morant doesn't like him, but John Morant is a tough dude to deal with.
Imagine now Jenkins coming here. Let's just say he does get hired, and his superstar is Jalen Brunson. Talk about two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, much more
amenable
to coaching.
One guy playing with guns, the other guy playing with his roommates. I mean, come on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
BT and Sal on the
fan. And it's Taylor. What did I say, Taylor? Tyler? It's Taylor. It's
yeah,
Taylor Jenkins.
Okay, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. As long as it's not Mike Brown, I'm good with that. And it's nothing against Mike Brown. I say that, it makes me sound like I'm picking on him.
Just doesn't move you.
No, not at all. At least there's intrigue there with Jenkins. Mike is calling from Queens. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT and Sal, you guys are the best. Listen every day.
All right.
Thank you. We appreciate the support.
Yeah.
What's
thanks,
up, Mike?
Watching the Yankees over the last few years, what really bugs me, what really gets me, yes, they're the first place in the AL East, right? Boston just traded Devers, so that made it a little easier for us, even though Boston isn't that good. We lose hitting all those home runs against us and the damage he does.
Mm-hmm.
But why does Cashman, every year when it comes to spring training, he doesn't fortify the positions? Who's your third baseman? Everyday third baseman. Who's your shortstop? Everyday shortstop. That's a team. That's how you win. You build chemistry by going through the ups and downs as one team. Yes, you have players come in and out to give guys rest and breaks, but you still have a team that's everyday. You know, everyday playing together. When you get to the postseason, that's who you're playing with. Those same guys that you played the whole year with, the ups and downs, and not a guy coming up from the farm system, giving him a spell.
Listen, I would prefer, I truly would, and thank you for the call. I understand the concern. It's a little frustrating to have a payroll around $300 million, a top three payroll in baseball, and constantly mixing and matching. Like, that just drives me absolutely insane. I would much rather know, and this is the way it used to be, and baseball's changed, and the Yankees aren't alone in this, but when I was growing up, and I knew Ricky was batting first, and Willie Randle was batting second, and Donnie was batting third, and Winfield was batting fourth, and Jack Clark or Pagliarulo were batting sixth. I just knew who was playing, right? And the Yankees now, part of the reason why we don't always know, though it's a little bit more identifiable this year, is because Brian Cashman has made mistakes. So you've got guys who have money, who are veterans, but who aren't healthy. So you're not going to do anything definitive in the spring because you're going to give those guys, whether we agree with it or not, a chance to get healthy and prove that they can still play. Otherwise, Cashman's going to make himself look bad. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go out and make this massive move for third baseman in February, even though some of us wanted to. When let's maybe Jazz plays third, maybe DJ plays third. Yeah. Again, I don't love it, but that's their rationale behind it.
Every team does that, though. There are things that I have concerns with or issues with the Yankees. One is not, well, they have too many guys that they use. That's just, unfortunately, the way the sport has evolved to, because they believe. See, it used to be, get this, you get a good player who can hit, run, catch, throw. You get those players. Some do it better than others, but you get those players and you play them the majority of time, mm-hmm. if not every day. Now it's, well, they got guys that can hit, but he can only hit against lefties. Okay, this guy can hit, but he can only hit against righties. This guy's not a good defensive player, but he's a good offensive player. This guy's a good... And then, so you have multiple guys to do the job of one good player. And they believe analytics... that just finding a, I don't know if you want to say role player, part-time player, whatever, but hey, this guy mashes lefties, we're going to use him against lefties. And it's better than just getting a well-rounded ball player. Keeping guys fresher, that's a part of it as well. Like, that's just the way the sport has evolved to. We went over how many different variations of the lineup.
Yeah.
It just used to, there's no way the lineups back then 80s or 90s were as different as they are now on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. with the Mets, Yankees, or anybody else.
You tell me who had a tougher job. You know, Billy Martin and, let's say, Davey Johnson from the 80s, even though they had a couple of platoons. We've talked about that at second base and center field. You know, Billy shows up. All right, I got Thurman. Yeah. I got Reggie. I got Willie. I got Chambliss. I got Nettles. I got my team. You know, I've got Mickey Rivers in center. I'm not saying there wasn't a position or two. Where, yeah, Bucky Dent was the shortstop. Not that he was great, but he was the shortstop. Like, somebody gets hurt. Willie gets hurt. All right, Fred Stanley has to step into the World Series. I forget, it was 78. I think it was 78, whatever it was.
Or day game after a night game.
Or, right, like, whatever. For a catcher, yeah, a little bit. Right. You want to give Thurman a little rest here. You have a Barry Foote or another backup catcher that had a couple years. I get that, but the complexity of the job today, it's just different, and there's less gut and less feel and much more of a marriage to numbers, and we don't like it, but it's not going to change. It's only going to get worse with more influence on the game, so we got
to
deal with it.
But don't you, right, so to your point, I think Booney has it way more difficult
yes.
than, let's say, Billy Martin.
Oh,
like,
my
anybody
God.
Can pencil out that lineup.
Yeah.
But don't you think that means that we have less capable, less quality players? Like, it shouldn't be this hard.
Less quality. Good. I mean, all around or just specialized?
Well, I mean,
or both?
Like, Dominguez, for example. He yep. should be better than what he is, first of all. The hype was supposed to be better. But again, he's a young player who's now, instead of learning and dominating at the minor league level and then coming up here and polished,
yep.
he's a young player that's learning to play the outfield, learning to hit from both sides of the plate at the big league level.
Yeah.
Learning to not make stupid mistakes. Like, yeah, that's part of rookie pain and growing, sure, but he's doing it at a high-profile situation with the Yankees where he's not just a guy. He was relied to be one of the guys to lengthen out this lineup. Volpe, same thing. He's been learning for 3 years on the job.
Now, he's gotten better this year. Still not where I'd love him to be. He's not an all-star, but his numbers have gone up. But there's definitely more room for growth with Volpe. There's no question about that. See, to me, and I was thinking about this over the weekend, I don't even know why or how it popped in. I was driving. I just had this thought. It's really changed in this regard. Like, back in the day, when you were drafted, now maybe the bad teams weren't quite as good at this, but you were drafted and you were taught, like, the high-level A team or the double-A team, they wanted to win and they played to win, which meant that I know they're yeah. not going to just bunt and all that. I'm not even calling for that because that's kind of boring. But there was an element of, we are going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Hit behind somebody, scoring from first on doubles, hitting cutoffs, like all the staples, all the fundamentals that everybody knows about. Now, in the minors, it is about, and I guarantee that Aaron Boone would agree with this, and I guarantee that Mendy would agree with this as well. It is about chasing math, chasing science, and chasing numbers. What's your exit velo? How hard do you throw a baseball? What's your 60-yard dash? There is no longer, and you're timed out of first base. There's no longer any emphasis on playing winning ball. So players aren't as refined when they get up. Yeah, they can put up. They could put on a show in BP, and you got outfielders throwing 90 miles an hour and shortstops throwing 95 across the diamond. I get all that. They are superior baseball specimens compared to what we had growing up. They're not better baseball players.
Chris is in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to disagree with you, Sal.
Okay.
And side with BT on the Yankee lineup mm-hmm. because BT makes a point that this year's lineup is a lot deeper than last year's lineup or any Yankee lineup that we've seen in the past couple of years. Now, league average OPS is around, like, what, 700?
Yes.
Now, when everybody's healthy and in the lineup, you have everybody 1-9 currently hitting for over 700 OPS. That's something you haven't seen in the Yankee lineup in a couple of years now.
Yeah, I just don't think – I'm sorry. I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm watching them play. How's Jazz Chisholm been, by the way?
I think he's coming back from injury. Yeah. I don't think he's been that bad.
He's a strikeout machine who's hitting .212. You think Dominguez has lived up to the hype? And don't give me the splits. He plays both. His batting average on the year is .237. So you want to say, okay, well, then he's going to be a part-time player. Okay, well, then fine. Now you're minimizing Dominguez. That wasn't supposed to be the case. Dominguez was supposed to be the next Mickey Mantle, the Martian. He was supposed to hit well from both sides of the plate. So he's hitting .237. You want to talk about...
But,
okay, go ahead.
But before this, he hasn't played more than 50 games in a season.
Hey,
I feel like you have to give him a little bit.
I get it, but now you're talking about a different story, Chris. He's learning at the big league level, and thank you for the call. He's learning at the big league level. Ben Rice, Trent Grisham. I mean, look at the guys in this lineup. Even Bellinger. And he's playing much better as of late. And I thought Bellinger was going to have a monster year. He's not having a great year. I mean, I thought monster year. Like, pencil him in.
We had a monster spring. He looked really good. I was with you. I thought he was going to go nuts.
With Judge in the lineup.
He's been okay. He's been okay.
Goldschmidt's been better than expected. Judge has been otherworldly.
Yeah.
I just, and are they deeper than they were a year ago? Sure. I mean, I don't think they're as good because I trust Soto, Judge more so than the length of the lineup now or the balance now. It has the potential to be far superior. Goldschmidt, Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, if these guys do what they're expected to do or close to it, then yeah, I don't think they've done that yet. Jazz has been an afterthought. Yeah, I know he's hurt, but dude, he's a strikeout. He's not Babe Ruth. He's trying to hit home runs on like a pace with Aaron Judge. Put the ball in play. Can you make contact in a big spot? He's hitting 212.
That is a perfect example of what I was just railing on. Him and the way he was coached and taught in the minors. So if this was back in the day, we'd probably have Jazz Chisholm as a 280-ish hitter, maybe 285 with 50 steals. He stole 40 last year anyway, so that's not a big uptick. But he'd be on base more, so we'd have more. You know,
top of the order, if he's not lead off.
Maybe
second.
Two spot, maybe one, maybe
really,
even
five. Really,
he
should be lead off. Yeah, right.
He should be. Much higher on base, much fewer strikeouts, more of a threat to bunt for hits, not for sacks. And he would just be a more polished, poised baseball player. He goes up there, and yeah, when he crushes one, it looks effortless. It does look beautiful. Like, he's got a very fluid, natural, explosive, dynamic skill set. There is no doubt about it. He looks good in the uniform. He runs like the wind. He's got a good arm. And when he hits it, he crushes it. The problem is, you watch him the other three or four times of the week, and he's swinging like he is Babe Ruth. And to me, at what point are you past the point of no return where you can't be fixed? He's probably there. Like, the Yankees...
Like, this is who he is.
I mean, come on. He's been around now, what, 5 years? And he's going to look good for a week or two. And when he came back from the injury list, he looked really good. And then he reverts back to just swinging for the stars, and he's a problem.
Think about what we
I'm not a big Jazz fan.
Think about what
I do like his energy, though.
Yeah, I know.
They needed that. Like, that swag. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I know, but it'd be nice if he could back it up with some decent play on the field. He's been a good, you know, he wanted to play third, he'll play third, want to play second, whatever. Think about when we talk about the Yankee dynasty, what made them so great. Not only just the balance and the length, and everybody references no superstars, they had ball players. Guys that play well-rounded baseball. Paul O'Neill was good in the outfield. Paul O'Neill could hit with a little power. Paul O'Neill could hit with batting average.
Now, a lot quicker than you think, too. Paul can run, actually, when he's young.
I'm saying, like, it's not like he's always a liability on the base path.
No.
Bernie, Jeter. Go through the... like
Tino, great fielder at first. Great fielder.
Ball players. All over there. Brocious. He could field.
Girardi, he couldn't hit a lot, but he could bunt. He could run as a catcher. I know. I get it.
So, that's all we asked for, was, like, ball players. And when I look at the Yankees, they've got the potential to mash you on any given night, which other teams don't have.
Mm-hmm.
When everything's clicking, Grisham's got power, Rice, Judge, obviously, Bellinger, Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, like, whoa, loaded. Like, every one of those guys could easily hit 20 home runs in their sleep. But on a consistent level, are they well-rounded, good enough, either polished offensive players or just ball players? And I don't think that they are. But the good thing is nobody in baseball is. I mean, that's part of the problem, right?
yeah, it is. It's an inherent issue, which is getting more and more as we get further away from back of the day, which I've said a few times. I know we got to break the other thing, too. Think about Billy Martin driving to the ballpark or even Davey Johnson. He's not sitting there saying, all right, well, by the time we get to the fifth inning or Aguilera or Ron Darling or any other pitcher from that era, right? All right, you know, but he's just like, all right, look, he's going to empty the chamber. This guy's going to try to give me 105 pitches. Then we'll go to a Roscoe or McDowell, whatever.
Gator's going to give me 8 or 9 tonight. We got
Goose. It's just, even watching the Yankee games, they actually give you the chart of basically who's available. You know what I'm talking about, that screenshot this guy pitched 25 pitches, 22, who's a green light, who's not. It's so much more to juggle. It's just a different job, and I think it's a tougher job for today's managers.
Yesterday, Father's Day, I got to sleep in a little bit. A little bit. And I woke up, nobody was in the bed, thank God. Usually it's, my daughter in there, or
no
Maddie's
animals.
Waking me up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I got up, I'm good to go, and I walk out and walk toward my office, which happens to be near Sammy's room.
Office is upstairs.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So now, when I tell you this, like word for word, this is what happened. So picture this: wake up.
What time? Give me. You didn't say. I know you said to sleep in a little
eight-ish.
Bit. That's not terrible.
No.
Sleeping a little bit.
Yeah. That's nice.
It's not terrible.
An extra hour maybe on the weekend. Yeah. So around 8. Sammy's downstairs, whatever. But I'm walking toward my office. I don't even know why. Just like usually I like to get stuff. I want to start my day there. Just get settled in. Before
I do the same thing. I like to read, have a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
I do the same
thing. So I'm walking there and I see my wife. It's Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Father's Day. I see my wife in Sammy's room.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think the first thing that she says to me is?
I'm guessing it wasn't Happy Father's Day based on the tone. So
that would be the normal thing, right?
I'm sure it sounds like she got on you about something here.
It wasn't even getting on me, but the first words out of her mouth, anything other than Happy Father's Day is really not
acceptable. It's not acceptable on Father's Day. I agree with you on that. Usually I'm kind of on her side because I know you.
I'm still groggy walking over and I hear, can you empty this diaper pail? It smells like bleep in here.
Oh, man.
Followed immediately by Happy Father's Day.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't even a derogatory happy. It was just like she even knew because we were both kind of laughing afterwards. She even knew, Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
But that's, can you empty the diaper pail because it smells like bleep in here? No Happy Father's Day? Come on. First words out of your mouth.
I'm almost afraid to tell you how I woke up because it's the exact opposite.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, give me.
Well, I mean, we had baseball, so it's early, and usually what I'll do is I'll just go, while he's putting on his uniform, I'll go get gas and get Gatorade and stuff, so I come back, he's ready, boom. So I come down on the island, the kitchen island, there's, signs, Happy Father's Day from the kids. There's a new chair for me to sit in at the games. Like, it rocks.
Nice.
It's sick, dude, right? It's got a little overhang for the sun, for the rain. I got like 4 or 5 presents. Yeah. I got homemade cards. I got, then we have a little hibachi, little food later on. We go to hibachi.
Yeah.
Then they made me cookies at night while daddy took a little nap because he had a little sake at the restaurant and was a little tired and a little buzzed. Watched the final few holes of the U.S. Open. I mean, start to finish, it was without an ounce of aggravation. It was actually perfect.
Man, mine was kind of the opposite. Although
the
I did get the best gift ever. Did not get a card.
You didn't?
She did not give me a card.
Okay, so that gets you off the hook moving forward.
It's the greatest thing ever.
That's good.
I didn't even bring it up.
Yeah.
Don't really care.
Yeah.
Little surprise.
Yeah.
Don't really care.
Yeah.
But now, when daddy screws something up, which is inevitable, there will be a time where I screw something up or forget. Hey. You didn't give me a card on Father's Day, so.
But the fact that you said, I was a little surprised, but I don't care.
Well, that's usually like
surprised,
the bear.
You know.
That's usually, she said, oh, I got you something, but it's not here yet, of course. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I really don't care. I don't want anything.
Yeah.
Just how about you cut down on the Amazon spending for a month? That'll
be
a
that'll be good. Exactly.
Or not hit me with the, can you empty the diaper pail out the second that I wake up? Like,
That's the first thing you got hit with, huh?
First words. Oh, it was funny, though, because she knew her error.
Yep.
Immediately. Oh, Happy Father's Day. It was just like, come on. Can you give me a break?
Did you empty it?
Of course. It did smell. Like, I needed out of here. But, I mean, she could have done it herself.
I haven't had that smell for a couple of years. That's a tough
smell. Yeah, I know. Ooh. I was doing laundry. Well, those pails, they're supposed to keep the smell. It really doesn't work as well.
No.
Doing laundry yesterday. Like, it was finally a day to just do nothing, but I ended up doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing on Father. Cleaning the pool. You know, this is what I was doing yesterday. Walking the dog. This is life. Every day is like
this.
Father's
is
Day?
Life.
Father's Day? I mean, it wasn't any special to me.
Won't you have another kid?
Yeah, no chance. Give this one back before I have another one.
Come on,
BT
dude.
And Sal on the fan.
Call the stork. Oh, man. Give this one back.
Sammy, door's over there. Don't let it hit the way out.
Oh,
take mommy with you.
Come on, be careful, buddy.
No, just kidding, of course.
You're taking too many steps in that direction today. Be careful, buddy. We know you're kidding, Sal. We know you're kidding.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.